Dog Podcast.
Welcome to another Sandbox episode of the Master of One Podcast. This week we talk to freelance artist, founder of National Dry Goods, Adam Moore. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
And I'm Patrick, Master of Television and Film.
So get your hiking boots laced up, because it's time to get this journey going.
He's hurt my feet.
So for this Sandbox episode, we're excited to talk to somebody whose work I have admired for quite a while now on Instagram. Finally got a chance to connect, and we are excited to talk to him now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome freelance artist, illustrator, product designer, and founder of National Dry Goods. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Adam Moore to the show.
Hey. Oh,
wait, why can't I admire his work?
Because I don't know if you did.
You could have said, like, we have admired his work.
I knew that I had. So I was only going to speak for myself. I just felt like
Well, you thought you had admired his work because there was confusion.
No, well, yeah. So, let me before we even jump into any, like, the real questions here, I want to clear something up. Your Instagram handle is not Adam Moore. Your Instagram handle is Harold Apples. Talk to us about, is this your pin name?
Yeah, I'm kind of going running with that. My middle name is Harold. It's a family name. Okay. My grandfather's name. So I have some, you know, admiration for that name. And a couple years back, before I got into doing a lot of freelance stuff on the side, for the second go round, I was thinking about becoming a children's book illustrator. My wife had an idea for a children's book, and I kind of wanted a little pseudonym, you know, a little pin name to go along with that, and Harold Apples seemed like this nice, friendly character that you might trust, like good, you know, pin name for a children's book author. And then so yeah. We got about halfway done with that book. I ended up getting sucked into other work and just kind of stuck with it because I liked it. And it kind of kept a little, you know, anonymity from the internet, you know, keep low profile.
Until now.
Literally until today. You know, I thought it was a reference to Stranger Than Fiction because Harold is the character in there. And for some reason, I thought maybe an apple played a bit. I just assumed that you loved that movie.
I like that movie.
What I picture is when you're older, if you go by Harold Apples, you're that like the guy sitting on his. It's perfect that you live in Kentucky too. All anonymity lost at this point, right? I can picture you sitting as an old man with a big long beard, whittling on the porch, and someone going, "Who's that, Dad?" Oh, that's old Harold Apples.
that's old man Apples.
All right, so now that we've got that out of the way, why don't you do what we lovingly call your Wikipedia page? Give everybody a quick idea about who you are, where you come from, and what you do.
Sure thing. I'm from Kentucky, born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. I got into art at an early age. I went to like an art magnet school, went to college for art. But what really got me into graphic design was sort of like the music world, the band world. I was in a bunch of bands early on, and like, I don't know, like before the podcast, we were talking a little bit about like, you know, work ethos and stuff, like the people in our generation. I feel like being in a punk rock band really teaches you, it almost teaches you how to work for like a corporation, because you just like, you just work nonstop, you have a goal, you put everything into it. And so like I started designing a lot of posters for friends' bands and friends' album covers for free. And so that ended up sort of, starting a little bit of a freelance career in Nashville, for me designing a bunch of Christian music records.
Yeah.
There was, sure. I did a lot for this, this record label called Goatee Records, yeah. And I designed a lot of, Christian rap records. Just funny.
Can you tell us some of the artists that you worked on?
There was a group called Grits.
Yeah.
That were, yes. I actually don't mind those. Yep. I don't mind those guys. And then, there was this Toby Mac, this guy that ran that record label.
So wait, you did work for Toby Mac?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have
to. So that was big time.
I know that. That's like big time. Goatee. I mean, Grits and Toby. So Patrick and I both come from church backgrounds. We grew up, we were church kids. So I remember many a time. I was actually a youth pastor for about 6 years.
I hated Toby Mac so much.
We listened to so much Toby Mac that I think, I don't think I could listen to another one if I had to. But I probably have seen your work, is what I'm trying to say, years ago.
Yeah, you probably have. Yeah. And so it was funny. There was, the way I got into Goatee was, it was this funny little lineage of designer friends that I have. There was this guy named Aaron Mars who was a designer for them forever. Really interesting story. He did a bunch of Reliant K stuff. Really beautiful work. And then he ended up drowning at sea in a crab fishing accident. It was a really big story in Nashville.
Yeah.
And then he had, before he left, and he was filming with a group, and before he did that, he passed the job off to my friend Greg Leppard, who's also an incredible, went on to be an amazing designer. And then, so he just kind of, it was like this family sort of design role, and he passed it down to me. And then we all worked for this creative director named Eddie Boer in Nashville. He's a really great guy.
So it's okay. So take us now to more present day, right? So you're no longer working for Toby Mac.
So the Christian music record industry, you know, you could say it's not that profitable.
You could, one could say that.
That's actually surprising to me, though.
Well,
it seems like Christian and country, those guys can just, anybody could sell a lot of albums.
It's weird how much of a niche it is. Like, I live down near Franklin, Tennessee, and that seems to be, the hub for that industry, you know?
Absolutely.
And there's few record labels. It's just a really small, even the country music industry, it's kind of a small niche. It's like everyone there knows each other. But the Christian music thing is even smaller. It's like there's just a handful of people that kind of like have their hands in everything, it seems anyway. And so that was around the time that the internet was becoming more popular and designing was getting easier. And money just started drying up for that sort of stuff. And I assume it's like this in the music industry in general, but it was like, a package design wasn't paying hardly anything.
Sure.
And so it was just like, it was a hard thing to be in. And so around the same time I got married, I lived in Austin, Texas for a while. And that was a really hard place to be a designer because there's so many great creatives there.
Right.
It's really, really awesome place. And it was stinking hot. We wanted to get out of Austin. And so I took a job at a agency in Denver, Colorado. And that was my introduction into what it really means to work hard at an agency, like the drain your soul, work 90 hours a week, never see your family. Like I became like a master at InDesign. Like it was, I learned a whole lot. I had an amazing creative director named James Wiesinger. But ultimately it was just like, I felt like it was a step towards something else. And I got out kind of drained, was looking to get back to the South. Took a job through a friend of mine in Kentucky at a small media startup. This story kind of goes all over the place, but it was like a small media startup that was focusing on video, and it never happened. We did all this pitch work, and then the project got stalled. And just so happened, the owner of that company also owned a whiskey company. And so I was just sort of asked to just start designing for this whiskey company in the midterm when they were trying to figure out the back end logistics of this whole media company that never really happened.
Right.
And then in the midst of that, that same company, the owner bought Lonely Planet, which is an international, they're the largest publisher of guidebooks in the world. They're a giant travel company. So they purchased that company. It was this huge, crazy whirlwind buyout. They bought it from the BBC and relocated the headquarters to Franklin, Tennessee. And so I spent the next couple years helping them establish, kind of a home base in Franklin, Tennessee at the factory in Franklin, which is a cool little mall there that has a lot of startups in it. And we hired a ton of designers. I felt like I met every designer in Nashville. I built a marketing design team where we fulfilled all the marketing for the company, and I was an art director there for I think right at 6 years. And I just left there literally a month ago to start helping redesign all the product work for a company called Easy in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Man,
so does that mean you just left Nashville a couple months ago?
Yeah, I've lived in Kentucky now for a little over a year. I've been working remotely from my little farmhouse. And I was going back and forth to Nashville a couple times a week. It's a crazy drive, but now I'm working for for this company in Bowling Green. So in Kentucky full time.
Like you've got, just looking at you, it seems like you're way too young to have done all of that stuff. Just looking at you, like as you're laying out this timeline, a lot of people have worked with a lot of places, but you're like, yeah, I worked for that place for 6 years and I did this. I'm like, holy crap. Like you've got a substantial amount of work under your belt. And I'm impressed by that. And that takes us to what your new venture is. We'll get to Easy in a minute, but your National Dry Goods, which is what I first saw from you. Talk to us about what that was kind of bred from and what it is and what you're aiming to do with it.
That was, kind of born out of that same attitude as the rock band sentiment. I had been in a day job at Lonely Planet for 5 years. I was leading a group of six designers, seven or eight people total. And just realizing I wasn't really doing anything that was me in my nights. And so I had around the same time I started National, I had my first kid. And so I realized I really wasn't doing anything for myself at all. It was the nights were, staying up with the kid. And then one day it hit me. It's like, man, I haven't made art for myself in forever. And so I just started, and that's when the children's book thing sort of came about with my wife.
Yeah.
And started doing more and more work. And then I realized I wanted to own something. I was tired of working for people. And I feel like a lot of designers, have been catching that fever lately. They realize I'm always going to be working in an agency unless I own something of myself, whether it's an agency or some products to sell. And I've been in so many roles where I've been concepting projects or products and actually fulfilling them and talking with vendors and things. I felt like I knew already knew how it was done. And so I was like, well, why don't I just make some junk for myself and see how I do. And actually that whole, I say that as if it was really premeditated, but that whole sentiment in my life was sort of happening around the same time that I just started designing this deck of cards for free. For fun, and somehow I got hooked up with this guy named Jonathan Bame, who runs a playing card company called Theory 11. Really amazing stuff, and he liked this deck of cards I was designing and picked it up, and that I think got me a lot of attention that I wasn't really expecting. And around the same time that I launched National Dry Goods, I did a deck of cards called National, to sort of sync the two up a little bit. And so I started with just the deck of cards produced by Theory 11, and then we did some pins because, we're all designers with no money and pins are easy to make and the kids like them for some reason right now. I think there's probably a year left on the pin thing. I don't know.
I'm surprised it's lasted as long as it has.
I have no idea. I feel a little, a little dorky putting out
this
the pins.
This is coming from the guy that just bought five last week. I was going to say, I'm still surprised.
I've got a mound of them right here that needs to go up onto my pin board over here.
Forefathers Group did the website for Theory 11, right?
Oh, they did. Yeah, yeah. And actually,
yes,
we're working...
so that's where.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, and I'm working on a project with them right now that it was mostly me, but Forefathers Group did a little bit of illustration for it. And I'm really excited about it. I actually can't talk about that one. I don't know why I brought it up, but it's going to be good.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You don't just pretend you didn't hear it. So I saw Forefathers, love their stuff, saw Theory 11, That sucked me in a different direction because the stuff they do is super cool because they have all the cards, but they also develop tricks and all this stuff.
Those guys are insane.
But I actually think that's how that might be how I got introduced to National is actually through Theory 11. So
awesome.
Following that thread.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to say, because I know that I'm kind of butting in on Andrew because he's got five questions lined up right now. In looking at National Dry Goods, this is just a statement. It really stands out to me that it is more mature than some of the other sites that I see. We talk to designers that have stores and have shops and stuff like that, and certainly the bulk of the people we talk to have shops, right? But it's something about the variety of goods coupled with, certainly the aesthetic of everything and the design and then the stories and descriptions that go behind them or whatever, it just feels more mature than a lot of the stuff that we look at. So that's just kudos to you.
That
comes through when someone's looking at the site.
So yeah, but
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
That's exactly where I was going to take it. So one of the things that you'll find as a listener, if you've not checked out National Dry Goods site, which is natdrygoods.com, and there'll be links to that in the show notes, and we'll talk about it again. But one of the things that stands out to me as I'm looking through it, Patrick nailed it when he says the thing about it being mature. You have this phrase in your it's almost like a statement of belief or like your mission or whatever. But you say, at the moment, our offering is meager, but we really want to build a brand with the sole purpose of elevating unique artists and uniting their work with skilled makers and product designers in order to create thoughtful and very well-made goods that will hopefully delight. And to me, that says everything that I need to hear for me to buy into your company and to buy into what you're trying to do. So where is that? What's the catalyst for that? What's the thing that's in you that makes that be what you want to do with the thing that you're kind of marking as wholly you?
Well, I mean, I think, let me see where I want to start. So like, I mean, I've made products for a long time. I think I got to a place where I just wanted to make stuff that I was just one really, really proud of, which is hard to do because to make things that look nice, it's expensive. And so I think we're kind of focused on going slow at the moment. Like, I mean, yeah, most designers that are putting out their own stuff, it's like they're either screen printers, they can make their own shirts and posters, or somehow they have a lot of money. But like, I don't have a lot of money. And so we're trying to take it slow, make really nice stuff. And I also feel like the whole part about pairing creatives with artisans, like I feel like at this moment in my life, I happen to know a lot of both. Like where I live, there's this big community of makers. And also I've just made so many designer friends over the years. Like I know so many incredible designers. And so I want to start doing more collaborations. So I've got a couple in the works. One I think might come out next month if I'm lucky. I don't know. It seems like I can't think of another brand that's not just like a purely fashion brand where like the artist is sort of at the forefront, but there's also this big network of artists. I don't really know where it's going, but I know I want to like tap into this network of artists that I have, showcase them where they're maybe not being showcased. And then also just work with a lot of cool artisans that I happen to know just to make interesting stuff. And I don't even really have we don't even really have a roadmap yet for the type of stuff we want to make with National. It's all just sort of coming as it makes sense. Like we released a line of leather goods mainly because we befriended people at an awesome leather company. We weren't even really seeking to do leather. There's this company in near Bowling Green called Auburn Leather. They've been in business since the 1800s and they're just these really awesome old people who have just been in the leather business forever. And so we just decided to make some things with them. So we did some leather and I've been talking to a woodworker that I'm really good friends with in Kentucky. We might make some wooden products. But we're about to release some socks, I think, too, because we have a friend that owns a sock company. But it's not like – it's a really weird thing because I feel like most companies would be like, we want to make – you know, these four things and go out and figure out how to make them. And we kind of have some ideas for things we want, but we're kind of just going with what is more serendipitous at the moment.
Sure.
And it's been kind of fun.
Yeah. So yeah. The thing that is right in front of you.
Yeah.
That's great. There's one project. And I actually didn't initially know that you were involved with this because I came across this through Alex Pearson through Family Tree. But it's the Mars Project. It's this beautiful set of things. It's a pen and a print and like a wooden rocket model and all this stuff. Can you talk a bit about that project, where that actually came from?
Yeah, that was – I mean, I Alex gets way more props on that one than me. We collaborated a bunch on it. But that was literally just another collaboration just born out of like, we started talking on the internet. I had never even met him before. I was like, hey man, I've got this new web store. I want to do artist collaborations. Let's do something. And so we just started talking and he had this idea for the space project, that he wanted to just blow out of the water. He went nuts on it. The boxes, he got a custom box made for it. It's a really nice hat with an embroidered patch. Like you said, the pin and the wooden ship. And I just did a bunch of graphic design for it. He did the poster. I did lots of different variations of logos and patches and things. We use some of what I did. The majority of it is definitely Alex. He definitely gets the props for that. The poster design is awesome. Because if you haven't checked out his stuff, Family Tree, he has that great series of state posters that are so nice. Uh-huh. And he's a really talented fella.
Okay.
Who did the ticket/pinbacker?
I did the ticket.
Gosh,
the ticket looks so good, dude.
And we did that with Mama Sauce.
Oh, gotcha. So
you know every person that we admire. Like, that's what I'm realizing in this conversation.
Also, what I've discovered about like making your own stuff is like I've just started seeking out the people that I like, and it's really funny how people are nice. People are generally more responsive than you think. Like, yeah. I learned a few years ago as an art director to just reach out. Like there was this, when I was working at the whiskey company, there was this this label that we wanted to make with this photo of this painting of a horse. And I could not find, like, the owner of the company had this painting that he found in a book. And he was like, I want that painting on this label. I could not for the life of me track down the gallery that owned it, anyone that had a photo of it and anything. And then I saw it in an ad for Lexington, Kentucky. And the art director for the ad was Michael Beirut from Pentagram. Pinnacle of
big
fame,
Michael
famous.
Beirut. Yeah,
I email the guy. He writes me back. I email him cold, and I'm like, "Can you help me find this?" He goes out of his way to help me track down the gallery that owns the right to the photo of that painting, and hooks me up, and like saves the day, and like gives me a huge win at my job. And so people, yeah, so that taught me something about just like going out on a limb. So people are nicer than you think.
Well,
it also sounds like they're more accessible than I would think, because I would have never imagined Michael
Beirut
would write you
back. I found his email online and he wrote me back.
Golly.
Okay, so I know we're spending quite a bit of time talking about specific projects, but that's because your work is so good and I want to know about it. And so we may just have to do a part two some other time down the road to talk about other things. But your SNL cards that you have available on your site, talk to us about that.
That was also through Theory 11,
right?
And also that was started by, you know, Jay Fletcher, rad illustrator designer. If you don't know his work, you should check him out. He's phenomenal. But he does a lot of work with Theory 11 as well, and he did the box design, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And then me, and that was like a crazy rush project. Like, I get the impression, I don't know the whole story of how they got that deal with SNL, but it was like a crazy fast turnaround. Like, he needed all of the face card illustrations that all are unique representations of old, like, legacy Saturday Night Live skits. He needed them done in, like, it was insane, like a week and a half or something like that.
Wow.
And so I called in I only did about like probably half of the face cards, and the other half were done by a friend of mine named Jacob Rhodes, who worked with me at Lonely Planet and is also an incredible designer. You should check out his stuff. Really talented hand letterer. And so we just stayed up every night. We did, I don't know, so many different skits, and then it got whittled down to just the, I don't know, I forget, 24 face cards and pips or whatever that are in the deck.
Yeah.
But Jay Fletcher did he started the art direction for the thing. Like, it's definitely a Jay, I would consider it more Jay Fletcher than us. And then we did all the fun sketch illustrations for that.
Man, it's just, it's beautiful, and it's working in conjunction with a company like NBC, and then working with property so beloved is a good word, but it's a what do they call it? They call it, it's a
institution.
Institution, yeah, with an institution so heavily ingrained in our culture as Saturday Night Live. I could imagine there being a lot of pressure with that, but also just a feeling of elation that I get to work on something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, so your work is
maybe
great.
If they had more than a week and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I mean, not by myself.
Yeah, sure. But yeah. Still, you could give me a year and a half and I would still feel pressure on that. So we've talked a little bit about specific projects. Talk to us about the look and the aesthetic that you bring to things, because it has a very specific feel to it. So for people who are listening and haven't yet seen your work, try to describe what you bring to your work in terms of aesthetic.
I feel like I'm still trying to figure that out, as we all are. But like, I, like, early in my design career, I was more of a, like, a real traditional, like, designer's designer. Like, I did lots of logos, lots of symbol work. And so when I started illustrating more, I feel like a lot of that sentiment comes out of it. Like, like wherever I start illustrating anything, it ends up being black and white first before I even add color. I'm not like painting with a Wacom necessarily. Right. But with that said, like it's a lot of it's mono width. It's getting a little more goopy. Like I do, like I'll sometimes start with like a mono width sort of like template for a design that I have. And then I will break out the Wacom and start getting a little more organic with pieces of it. But yeah, a lot of flat sort of like, almost could be logos, but somehow are more elaborate. I don't know. I'm terrible about talking about.
Well, I mean, obviously mono weight is a huge, especially with your Parks stuff, your 59 Parks pin set, that you're working on, which hopefully you don't stop doing pins before you finish that set. Cause that would be a shame, but, it's definitely mono weight, but it's also very stylized. Like you bring stylistically, you do these things with hands. When you illustrate hands that are just beautiful, I want to get all of them tattooed on my body because they're so, it's mono weight and it's almost hard lines, but there's this, you add these unique, curvature, that makes them very, style, very artistic, almost Michelangelo. I don't know if that makes sense. Like when you look at, no, I'm not. By no way am I saying.
Where are you going with this, Andrew?
Maybe.
Here's what I heard. What I heard is Andrew wants Adam's hands all over his body.
Just listen.
That's
just
what
listen.
I heard.
That's not entirely wrong. But here's what I'm trying to say. When you look at paintings from Michelangelo and you see how he depicts the hands, they always have character to them. The hands can live by themselves as the main focus of a painting. The way that you do hands is the same way. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think that's what you're trying to get at, I think, is why I'm kind of fascinated with hands right now, because it is kind of like to reduce something to a symbol that still has like emotion and gesture to it is really hard to do. And I think it's nice to like, I think you can do that with the symbol of the hand. And it's like for the little symbol work that I'm doing, it's hard to capture like a face or like an entire body maybe, but the hands, I don't know why I'm stuck. I think I'm stuck on hands for that reason.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotion there.
Patrick thought I was crazy. But there's something to that. Okay. All right, Patrick.
I mean, like, I know you like Adam's work, but you are just like laying it on right now.
It's fine. Just go.
Thick.
So, okay, before we start the show, we talked a bit about the value of hard work. And in the intro, when you're talking about kind of the path that you've taken, you made a couple comments about that. One was through the music days, and then also through the time you spent, specifically, I believe, at Lonely Planet. And so I want to kind of get an idea from you or hear more about this idea of the value of hard work and what it actually means to bring that to whatever job you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still trying to work that out in my head, like what it really means, because you can, especially today, like you can hop into being a designer. There's so many tools at your fingertips that we didn't have, you know, like 15, 20 years ago. That can make you, you know, a very competent designer, make beautiful work. But yeah, there's something that like, I don't know, like, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but like there's like, I've worked with lots of different age ranges in designers. And I feel like I hear this complaint a lot too, but there's definitely like working in-house at a place, the work ethic that like 35 year olds plus have is very different than the work ethic that the designers right out of school have like in their 20s. And I don't know if that's just because they've been through the ringer, like if we all start out that way, or if it's just because, I don't know, it's a different time. But I do feel like, yeah, there's just something about like going through the hardships. It's like anything in life. You go through the hardships, you learn some lessons, you learn what not to do, you learn to be more cautious. I don't know. But yeah, being in a band and like not getting paid ever for anything makes you realize what a good job really is.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't really know where I'm going with this. But yeah, hard work is good, I think.
Yeah, well, I think the perspective is a bit different maybe. I mean, you know, for me it was a bit of the same thing. I also played music when I was younger, and that's the direction I wanted my life to go, is, you know, I wanted to be a drummer on some big stage playing for a bunch of people. But all the time and effort that you invest into something like that because you love it, there isn't an expectation of money. Like, you just want enough to do the next one. Like, I need to make $60 at the door so I can afford gas to get to the next door. Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, and you learn how hard it is to make it, right? Like, especially in a band, it's like, man, you're in a space where everyone is so much better than you, and you have to really bust it to do something worth being noticed for. And I feel like, you know, today with like kids putting their work up on Instagram, wanting lots of likes or whatever, it's like, have you really done what it takes to get noticed yet? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's another part too. I mean, I I'm not in the design industry. I'm in development.
Oh, cool.
But there is this idea that like your
industry.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
But like, I'm not like COBOL or something like that. I'm the fun part of development. But the point is, there's this expectation from people. So I went to college later. I didn't go to college straight out of high school. I went and worked, and then I came back to college. But there's this expectation for people graduating that I'm just going to be thrown a job and make six figures, and like, that's it.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to pay me that, then I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah,
just a very odd attitude. Like, it's not something that I personally have been able to empathize with, because that wasn't my reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a similar thing. And maybe it's always been that way. Maybe it's always the same.
Maybe I was that way.
Always. Yeah, exactly. Like someone above you thought you felt you seemed entitled.
Yep. And they crushed my hopes and dreams. And then I, you know, got more realistic over the years. I don't know.
But I do the same thing. Like I look back and think like, man, this is, like, people are seeming a bit soft, maybe. Like, I don't know what the word is, but
entitled,
like, a little out of touch.
Entitled, I think, is the
entitled. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
to communicate there. All right, so I want to shift things. I want to move us into our finals because we want to keep this bite size for everybody.
I just want to be an angry old man. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you're the opposite. You're not Harold Apples whittling on the old thing. You're like the curmudgeon sitting.
We don't talk to him.
Yeah. Oh, so
I'm like, keep
stay
a
away
wide
from
berth
that guy.
You're walking around.
I'm getting there, man. I'm getting a little curmudgeon-y.
All right. So we're gonna shift to finals. Keep this bite size for you, for everybody, and be honoring your time. My question is actually kind of on the heels of that. For people who are out there who are getting things started, or maybe they're fresh out of college, maybe they're still in college, or maybe they've been doing this for 40 years. They've been in the design field for 40 years, but are feeling that sense that you were feeling right after having had your kid, and you realized, I'm just not doing anything that's wholly me and doing me the way that I need to do it. What would you tell them they need to do to get things started?
I mean, it's really just about starting, right? I think that was my biggest hurdle. It's just like, just start making something. And if you, everyone knows, everyone has an inkling of what they kind of like to do. You might not know, you know, no one really knows what they're going to look like fully realized, but you know the few things that you like to do. And so just start doing those things. I had a professor in college who, I think it was a clay class, and he was just like, this class is about quantity over quality. You are too young to know what quality is, and you're not going to make quality work. You need to put in the time to discover what type of work you like to do, to refine your skills as an artist, and to just learn through making.
Yeah.
And so like, I feel like I feel like everyone kind of has the same story, right? Like the only person that I can think of that was fully realized right out of the gate was like Prince. I don't know who else was, but like, it's like you have to start making, and you find what you like to do through the making. You might find out you don't like to do it at all, and, you know, go into something else. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like you find it through the doing.
Okay, so then a follow up to that: what is your next thing? What is the thing you've worked on? Some high profile projects. You've been able to make pins, you've been able to do these things. What is the next thing that you can't wait to kind of, you know, dig your teeth into?
Well, I did start a new gig that I'm pretty excited about with a company called Easy, and we're looking at a big rebrand and redesign, and I'm cutting my teeth as a web product designer. So that's a big new thing. I did just have another kid. So I've got a 4-month-old, and so that's kind of, I've part of me leaving Lonely Planet, buying a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, and sort of taking a step back and working on personal projects was to be closer to family. And so I'm kind of most excited about that, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to be a dad.
So I'm curious for someone in your position, because you've been working long enough that you've certainly experienced burnout. You've certainly hit a point where you didn't want to see your computer or, you know, pick up a tablet or a pencil or whatever. How do you respond to that? What do you do in that moment when you just, like, the work, you know, your life's work is just not appealing anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been there a couple times in my career, and I feel like each time it happened to me, I got out. So I don't know if I did face it. Like, each time that initiated some big life situation. Like when I was living in Denver, I was like, this, you know, I'm working 90 hours a week. This can't be it. I'd rather just work at a coffee shop. And I got out. And as soon as I was out and realized it was more about that scenario that I was in, I got, it rekindled my passion for what I liked about design in the first place. And so I've had a lot of hard resets. I don't know if that's good advice for anyone. That might be terrible advice for most, but it's worked for me along the way.
That's awesome. So here's what I want to do. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you. They can follow what you're doing. They can support you. They can give you money, all of those things.
Sure, man. I don't do Patreon or anything like that. I don't want to take anyone's money and promise them anything. But I do, Nat Dry Goods, NAT Dry Goods. I'm constantly putting new products up there. And pretty much that and Instagram, / Harold Apples is pretty much where you can find most of the stuff that I'm putting online. You can also follow, we're National Dry Goods on Instagram. But those three places are where I'm putting up most of everything.
Man, if you are into really, really sharp looking, it's dry goods, but like if you're really into like that kind of earthy look, go to National Dry Goods right now. And
if you want to refer to what you buy as wares,
there you go.
This is the place.
Yeah. That's where this is your first stop. It is quality stuff. It is super rad. And honestly, if after listening to this last half hour of hearing Adam talk about what he's doing and why he's doing it, if that isn't reason enough to go support the dude, then you weren't listening. So go check that out right now. You can, before we head out of here, though, if you would do us a favor and help us pick our tokens for next week, that would be super awesome.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, so that's it for the interview portion. Up next, we're going to draw some tokens. The tokens portion each week is when we get to find out the categories we have the following week. We pick our topics based on those categories. Adam, you'll see I have the tokens in my hand. I'm going to put them face down on my desk. I'm going to shuffle them up. I can't see them. You can't see them. Give me a number between 1 and 3, and you'll be picking for Luke.
Three? Can you hear me?
Three, yes.
Oh. There we go.
Sorry.
Luke gets art and design.
I just love this suspense. I know. I thought you were just really
I think my mic cut out. I was waiting
with bated breath. So Luke gets art and design. He will love that. One or two, you'll pick for Patrick.
Two.
Patrick, you got toys and games. That means I have TV and film. Congratulations. You can find us on mof1podcast.com, or you can find show notes and links to all the stuff that we just talked about, including all of the stuff where you can find Adam. And you can follow us on social media. Just hit us up at mof1podcast on all the different platforms. Like, subscribe, share, rate, review, all the things on all the internet places. That's how the internet works. If you like what you're hearing, rate it, share it, talk about it. That's what this is all about. And if you buy some of this stuff, let Harold know. Well, I guess, yeah, Harold, that works. Let Adam slash Harold, Mr. Apples, know that you heard about it on the show, just to let him know that this was at least a little bit worth his time. And you can support the show by going to shop.mof1podcast.com, where you can buy not quite as cool stuff, but it's still nice stuff. That has the MF1 podcast stuff on it, and it helps support us that way. But I think, you can join the conversation on Discord. Go to mof1podcast.com/family and join
the
conversation.
We like talking at you, but we'd rather talk with you.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. For now, I think we're going to get out of this one. Thanks so much for chatting with us. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Harold Adam Apples.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye. This apple is dropped. Does that sound right? Is that good?